Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes the day is long or the week is long, and all you really want to do is lie down on the couch or in bed and get some rest. In our scripture readings this morning, the Lord himself acknowledges that need for rest that we all have. We see that first in our Old Testament reading, where the need for rest comes through in the words of the third commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." The Hebrew word Sabbath means rest, and so the Sabbath day was to be for God's people a day of rest. Farmers were not to plow or plant or harvest. Homemakers were not to cook. Servants, too, were to have a day of rest because all people need rest. And in doing that, in taking a day of rest, the people of God were also following an example that God himself had set for them. As in 6 days he had created the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and then on the seventh day he rested. In fact, the Lord had done that. He had taken a day of rest, specifically in order to set an example for us. After all, it wasn't as if God's work of creation had tired him out and he needed a rest. In the words of Isaiah 40, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary." He does not grow tired or weary, but he knew that we would. And so by taking a day of rest and then telling us to do the same, the Lord set an example for us and taught us a valuable lesson, showing us that to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, including a time to work and a time to rest. We might think first especially of resting our weary bodies, and that's part of what the Sabbath was for, but was also given to be a time of rest for our weary souls. God created us in both body and soul, and he continues to care for us in both body and soul. And so he gave the Sabbath day as a day of rest for both body and soul. We all know from experience how the body can be worn down by a hard day or hard week of work. We also all know from experience how the soul can be worn down. How it can be worn down by the burden of guilt or shame or regret over our sins, by disappointment or discouragement over our failure to be the kind of people that we really want to be. How our souls can be worn down by feelings of helplessness or frustration at all the sin and the injustice that we see in the world around us and affecting the people close to us, and by all the ways that the world beats down our hopes. And so we need not only to rest and refresh our bodies, we need just as much, and in fact even more, to find rest and refreshment for our souls. To be freed from the crushing burden of sin that weighs us down, and to be lifted up in new hope. And so the Sabbath was not just to be a day of rest from work, it was to be a day of rest in the Lord, a day to find rest and renewal in the Lord and in his grace. That's why, as we heard in our Old Testament reading this morning, the Sabbath day was described as not just a Sabbath, but a Sabbath to the Lord. It was to be not simply a holiday, but a holy day. A day to focus on our relationship with the Lord, who alone can give the rest that our souls so need. Or at least that's how it was supposed to be. Over time, though, the Israelites took God's good gift of the Sabbath and so changed it and distorted it, that over time it came to feel not so much like a gracious gift from God, but rather like a burden that God was placing on us. That happened primarily as a result of Jewish teachers adding Sabbath restrictions that went far beyond anything the Lord himself had said about the Sabbath. The Lord had said that the Sabbath was to be a day of rest, and he did give some guidance as to what that meant. But the Sabbath laws that the Lord gave were really quite broad. As time went on, though, teachers began to add their own rules, very detailed rules, about exactly what was and was not permitted on the Sabbath. And those rules were treated as binding. The Jewish people were expected to treat those rules as being just as binding as God's word. So, to offer just one example, rabbis wrote that tying some kinds of knots was forbidden on the Sabbath, because that was work, but that tying a knot was not prohibited on the Sabbath if the knot could be untied with just one hand. Well, that's just one small example, but it illustrates how keeping track of the detailed Sabbath requirements added by man came to be complicated and burdensome, and often made the Sabbath itself seem like a burden. We see an example of that in today's gospel reading. As we heard there, one Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field of grain, and as they walked along, Jesus' disciples plucked a few heads of grain to eat. Some Pharisees saw that, and they complained that the disciples had broken the Sabbath laws because, according to them, plucking the heads of grain was work. As if casually plucking a head of grain to eat while you walk is somehow in the same category as going out and working in a field. As Jesus made clear in his response that day, the Pharisees were missing the whole point of the Sabbath. They were failing to see that, as Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Pharisees had taken a day that was given by God for man as a gift to man and had turned it into a weapon to use against man and even against the divine Son of Man, Jesus Christ. An even clearer example of that problem is then seen in the second event recorded in our gospel reading. It was a Sabbath, and Jesus went to the synagogue to worship. There was a man with a withered hand there, and the Pharisees were watching closely to see if Jesus, who was widely known for his healings, would heal this man on the Sabbath. Now, they weren't watching just out of curiosity, and they certainly weren't watching out of compassion for the man with the withered hand. They were watching in the hope that this would give them something they could use against Jesus. Specifically, they were hoping that Jesus would heal the man so that they could then accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath by doing this work of healing on what was supposed to be a day of rest. Well, Jesus was well aware of their intentions, but he wouldn't let that stop him from doing what was right that day. In compassion, Jesus did heal the man after first pointing out to everybody that the Sabbath is a day given for our good, not for our harm, and the day is to be a blessing to our lives. And so, even as the Pharisees sought his harm that day, Jesus made that Sabbath day a special day of blessing for the man whose hand he graciously healed. As a result of that, Jesus' opponents became so angry that that very day they began plotting how to destroy him. So Jesus taught about the Sabbath day, both in what he said and also in what he did, teaching and showing that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But Jesus also went on to do much more than that. For Jesus had come not just to teach us about the Sabbath. He had come to fulfill the purpose of the Sabbath. Jesus came to give us a much greater rest than the Sabbath day could ever give us. A rest that the Sabbath had pointed ahead to and prepared the way for. In the Old Testament, God had graciously given his people many gifts that were blessings to them then, but which also pointed ahead to even greater blessings yet to come, the blessings that the promised Messiah would bring. So, for example, the Old Testament priesthood had pointed ahead to Jesus as our great high priest, the perfect priest who would offer up himself as the final perfect sacrifice. All the sacrificial lambs of the Old Testament had pointed ahead to Jesus as the pure and holy Lamb of God, who would be given as the true atoning sacrifice for all our sins, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in a similar way, the Sabbath day of the Old Testament also pointed ahead to Jesus and what he would do for us. The Sabbath day was a blessing to God's people as it reminded them of their need for rest, and it made some provision for their rest. But that rest, that rest was just a shadow of the true rest for our souls that Jesus would bring us. The rest that he would go to the cross to secure for us. By dying for our sins on the cross, Jesus saved us from the curse of sin once and for all. And because he has done that for us, in him we can now rest in the knowledge that all our sins are forgiven. In his redeeming grace, the burden of our sin and the weight of guilt and shame and regret over our sin, that burden is lifted from us so that our souls can be at rest. By Jesus' death and resurrection, he has saved us from death and hell and has won for us life everlasting. And so in him, we can now rest in the peace of knowing that our future is perfectly secure and that nothing that this world might throw at us can ever change that. And with that, we also have the sure hope, the assurance of a perfect rest yet to come and the unending Sabbath of heaven that again is ours entirely because of Jesus and what he has done for us. Jesus came to bring us rest and peace. He gave himself up on the cross to secure that rest and that peace for us. And he now freely invites all people to receive at no cost the rest and the peace that he freely gives. As Jesus graciously calls out in the words of Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls." So while the Old Testament Sabbath was indeed a good gift from God, in Jesus, we have now something that is far, far better. And for that very reason, the Old Testament Sabbath requirements no longer apply. Just as the Levitical priesthood is no longer needed because we have Jesus as our great high priest, and just as sacrifices are no longer needed because Jesus is the final perfect sacrifice that atones for all our sins, so also the Sabbath, as a required day of rest, is no longer needed because of Jesus and the greater rest that we have in him. Paul makes that point in the second chapter of Colossians, where he says to all Christians, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things that were to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Paul's point here is that the Old Testament institutions, such as the Sabbath day, were good for their time, but they were preliminary, and they were preparing the way for something far, far better. They were preparing the way for Jesus and the far greater blessings that we have in him. And now that he has come, the time for the former things has passed. To be clear, the point is not that we no longer have a need for rest. The point is that the rest that we do need is found not in a day, it is found in a person. It's found not in a mere day of rest, but in the Lord who gives rest for our souls, today, every day, and eternally. Like the Pharisees in our gospel reading, we might still sometimes find ways to take God's gifts and make them somehow feel like burdens. We all do have a little bit of Pharisee in us, and so we might sometimes take even Jesus' gracious invitation to come to him and find rest for our souls and make it seem as if coming to him were now somehow a burden that we bear. But as we do come to him, as you're all doing here this morning, what we find is that he is not burdening us at all. He's taking our burdens from us and giving us rest. That's why he came to us, and that's why he now graciously calls us to himself to come and freely receive rest for our souls in him. So look to the cross of Jesus, your Savior, and find your peace and your rest in his wounds. Lay down your burdens at his cross, listen to his words, and find rest in the assurance that all your sins are forgiven in his name. Come to his table and find rest and refreshment in the holy supper of his body and blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for peace for your soul. Come to him, you who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.